You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer on the board. It's 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big program on this TGIF edition. It is Friday, August 29th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome, everybody, to the world headquarters in a rainy, moist downtown Madison here. I didn't know we were supposed to get this much rain today, Zommers.
But no, it's pretty rainy, actually. A lot more than I expected.
That's your fork. You can't get a better, more detailed current event than that. It's rainy.
it's pretty rainy outside. When I look out there, it looks wet.
The rain's supposed to pass by today. The rest of your Labor Day weekend looks very nice. In the 70s, mid-70s, then up to maybe the mid-70s, touching near 80 in some parts of the state on Labor Day proper. And then the bottom's going to drop out by Thursday here in Madison, expecting over only a high of 58 next Thursday.
Continue my quality forecast, that's a lot lower.
It's a lot lower, yes. So enjoy Labor Day weekend, everybody. If you're already on the road, drive carefully, as they say. Pack your patience. Nobody wants to be a jerk out there on the interstates. Be safe out there, or somebody could get hurt. And joining us this hour, you know him, you love him, my former broadcast partner at UW Platteville, now with the great marketing department in charge of branding at UW Milwaukee, but here on his own volition. He's on the injured reserve list, but still he's taking the time to join us from Milwaukee via phone. Here he is, Kevin O'Connor. How are you, Kev?
I'm doing all right. Good afternoon, sir. Your weather forecast sounds like the two guys still left at the National Weather Service trying to piece it all together.
That's right. After all the cuts, that's all they just look out and say, yeah, it's raining.
Rainy, lower. Gotcha. Yep, perfect.
There's your complicated forecast. Well, Kevin, you were so kind as to join us when we were down at UW Milwaukee, although you're out of town, but you called in. And here now, I don't want to go into too much detail, but you're recuperating, and here you join us via phone, and we appreciate that.
Absolutely. Happy to be here. Yes. Now, I fractured my wrist earlier in the week in a, let's just say, an accident.
Right.
And we'll leave it there. Be patient on the roadways. That's what I would suggest to all those drivers.
That's the key.
I would echo that. But here we are, and you will boost my mood and spirits as I chit-chat away. I can talk a lot better than I can type right now.
I'm sure. I used to work with a guy that he literally had a brother that only had one arm. He lost one in an accident, and he used to go around the office and say, "I'm busier than a one-arm paper hanger." You can't say that anymore. But at the time, he said that.
I am not going to say that. That's correct.
Anyway, it's great to have Kevin with us because big day, Kevin, in sports. We had our sports reporter Mike Clemens here on the first hour. Micah Parsons is now a Green Bay Packer and is the highest non-quarterback in the NFL, now surpassing Wisconsin's own TJ Watt with the Steelers, who was, until apparently the deal was signed a few hours ago in Green Bay. Kevin, you grew up in Chicago. You're a Bears fan. As a Bears fan, but lives in Wisconsin, just thoughts overall on this deal?
I mean, here's what I'd say, right? Like, a few things, kind of processing it. And, when you heard in the news, him, Jerry Jones, arguing, might get traded, the Packers, all that, I think I would put myself in the same category as it seems like many media people, sort of like dismissing it, right? As like a negotiation, whatever. And when the news actually comes, my honest first thought is, that's insane for Dallas. What are they doing? Mm-hmm. And how could the Packers have said no? Like, that if they had the opportunity to get a player like this who, you know, you and I, we're not sitting here breaking down film, but let's take what people say as gospel, right? One of the best current defensive players, defensive linemen in the NFL. Like, you'd be crazy to not roll the dice. And you have people now saying, well, that takes you from, well, we thought you might be a top 10 NFL team to like, yep, let's really talk about them as a team that could be in the mix for the Super Bowl. It seems like a no-brainer. My Bears thought, or first of all, is Caleb Williams is probably crying someplace knowing that this trade has occurred.
That's the first thing anyway.
that I thought of. That's certainly possible. And then the second thought, though, is if I then put, from a Dallas standpoint, if I would put myself in the Bears' shoes, if they were the team with Micah Parsons and their owner got in an argument with him and they decided not to sign him, and then they traded him to a team in the same conference that I'm going to play in, what, like week four of the season or something, I would be calling for everyone to be fired, right? So then I don't feel that way about the Cowboys. I don't care what they do. But that would be my other reaction. It's like, it's just, it seems insane. And I don't, for a minute, for a city that lost Luka Doncic not that long ago and can't get their arms around that, this feels remarkably similar.
Well, and your point, Kev, I was talking to my good friend Alex, a Dallas native, and went to school here in Wisconsin. He's back there. He has his lovely wife and new parents. Shout out to Alex. He listens in once in a while. Look, he's a Dallas boy through and through, and he said, I'm just done with this. Like, he goes, thank God we got the stars, because A, I can at least afford seats next to the glass for the stars. I can't afford decent seats at Jerry World. And then after losing Luka to Los Angeles, he's just sick about the Mavs. So yeah, I mean, my heart goes out to the Dallas fans, because again, Kevin, you mentioned this. From all accounts, this became not professional, but personal. And it seems that Jerry Jones's ego got in the way, that he refused to deal with Micah Parsons' agent and said, I'm doing this mano a mano or it ain't going to happen. And the agent and Parsons said, well, let's see what's going on. And correct me if I'm wrong, Kev, but I believe that Micah Parsons and Jordan Love share the same agent.
I do believe that's correct. And I think when you say it became personal, like, that is always the problem, right? Like, yeah. And let's face it, people that have more money than you or I can literally afford to have it get personal sometimes, right? I guess. Like, one would assume Jerry Jones didn't make all this money by always making it personal, because that doesn't seem like sound business. But, you know, the value of the Cowboys didn't go down because he got in a fight with Micah Parsons, right? If he wanted to pass it on to his kid, whatever else. But the reality is, I would assume we can safely assume plenty of bad discussions go on between general managers in sports and agents in sports. Plenty of good ones, too, but plenty of bad ones. Plenty of time where you hang up that phone and you would like to use every name in the book. And, you know, you can't do that. Like, does everyone think that everyone gets along with Rich Paul and to sign LeBron James, right? Like, you go through, you know, there's all kinds of stuff like that. You've got to put it aside. And I can't get my arms around it. And that turning personal seems extra extreme in this case, using that Luka comparison because of the same city. Like, some of the after stories make it sound like the Mavericks didn't get along real well with his people and all of that, but like, not to this extent where, besides, you know, some silly, oh, we weren't very good at stopping the run answer that Jerry Jones apparently gave yesterday or whatever. Right. There doesn't seem to be anything substantive. And even, again, using that comparison of Luka, like it or not, they were like, we don't think he keeps himself in good enough shape to give him this kind of money. I've not heard anyone say anything about Micah Parsons like that either. Right. Like, I don't think anyone's like, whoa, I don't think he's worth the money. Again, right. I've not heard anyone with football acumen make that suggestion.
We're talking with Kevin O'Connor via the phone in beautiful Milwaukee, with marketing, what is it? Branding and marketing. I always forget. I'm sorry. What's your actual title?
I'm the director of trademark licensing. That sounds so much more impressive.
I love that. Director of trademark licensing for University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, my former broadcast partner, sports director at WSUP, back in the old UW-Platteville, Kevin O'Connor, about this big, you remember, I talked about this, Kevin, in the first hour. We were at Platteville going to school together when the Reggie White thing happened. And our old broadcast professor, C. Ray Coel, a huge Phillies fan, or a huge Eagles fan from Philadelphia, Philadelphia was going around a campus going, oh, sweet Jesus, say it's not true. Oh, sweet Jesus. That's all she did because she was a huge Reggie White fan. And nobody thought, Kevin, right at the time, that the Packers would ever get Reggie White. And here we are all these years later talking about another earth-shaking trade. In this case, it was a trade. Back then, it was an acquisition.
Right, and obviously then, take ourselves back, us oldies, because right. That is the first thing I thought of. And the shock there, as much as anything, was in that era of the NFL, no one would have thought a superstar would choose Green Bay.
Right.
That era is long gone, right? It is not, players only have, in this case, Micah Parsons still was, it seemingly probably stuck going wherever the Cowboys wanted to trade him, and he just wants the new contract. So who knows whether Green Bay is number one on his list or 10, but I don't imagine he has any misgivings about going to Green Bay. And that part of the shock, isn't it? But there's no question. Think of what a future altering move that was, and how regretful, I realize now they've won subsequently, but how regretful to have let him get away. On that other end of things, in that Reggie White situation, it was when he did what he did with the Packers. And if you told me this turned out similarly, it wouldn't be like, oh, no, you're crazy. No chance. Yeah. Maybe it won't, but it's not ridiculous to think that it could turn out that same way.
Jerry Jones continued to make it personal for the Cowboys last night after the deal was announced with the Packers, letting Micah Parsons go to Green Bay. I believe his son was sitting next to him. And that Jerry Jones knows the guy's name is Micah. But he kept calling him Michael. Here's a cut from the Jerry Jones Cowboys presser last night after Parsons was announced to go to Green Bay.
Did I talk to Michael?
Micah.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
He said, Michael.
There's it. Right? He was talking to Michael Parsons the whole time.
Right, that's the problem. We've discovered the problem. He was talking to the wrong person.
Wrong guy. I got to tell you, I've just had about enough of confused people talking out loud all the time, in general, just about enough. And Jerry Jones is kind of in that category, I think, at this point.
All right, let's open this up before we have to run here. Let's open up time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. Time once again for What's Worse. Nothing to give away, no prize money involved, but it is your chance to have your voice heard on all 10 news talk stations, sports stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. Our category, as Mike Lucas is fond of saying, timely, timely indeed. The category today for what's worse, being a Cowboys fan or being a Bears fan? Being a Cowboys fan or being a Bears fan? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or you can text us on the Civic Media app. Download it on your iPhone or Android device. Simply type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media. It'll pop up. Takes less than a minute to download. It's free. It's what Gail King at CBS calls a deal, the Civic Media app. Well, Kev, we think she would if she knew about it. She calls the CBS app a deal. I think she'd say the same thing about ours. We'll see. We'll come back. We'll ask Kevin O'Connor, a lifelong Bears fan, what's worse today, being a Cowboys fan or being a Bears fan after the Micah Parsons trade? Your phone calls as well. And Lee Corso hangs it up on College Game Day. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
For three decades plus, Lee Corso has been coming to your city on ESPN's College Game Day, and tomorrow will be his final headgear pick. Going to talk about that in just a little bit. Welcome back to the Title Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 23 now past the hour of 3 o'clock on this Friday, August 29th. My former broadcast partner down in Platteville and now the marketing director extraordinaire of media, of branding. He is the king of Milwaukee media. Kevin O'Connor joins us via phone. Always great to have Kevin along for the ride. And what's worse? The category today, what's worse after the big trade from the Cowboys to the Packers, Micah Parsons, now the highest paid NFL player who is not a quarterback. What's worse today, being a Cowboys fan or being a Bears fan? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Sarah in Madison, listening on WMDX. Sarah, being a Cowboys fan or being a Bears fan, what's worse?
Cowboys, because Texas.
That's it, just Texas.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, thanks, Sarah. Appreciate you. Have a great Labor Day weekend. Thanks for calling in. Kev, you're a Bears fan. What's worse today, being a Cowboys fan or being a Bears fan?
I mean, I got to really say, as much as the arrival of Micah Parsons is concerning if you're a Bears fan, I really got to say I think it's worse being a Cowboys fan right now.
Right?
That's I don't know that there's not a lot of light at the end of that tunnel necessarily.
I think you're probably
the Bears got run over by that train 20 years ago. Like, we've already given up on that. I have hope. So I think the wound is newer if you're a Cowboys fan.
I think you're going to have a lot of company on that. Mark in Prayer to Sack texting in saying being a Cowboys fan is worse. Jerry Jones is lower on the evolutionary ladder than pond scum. Well, tell us how you really think, Mark. Jim in Brookfield listening in to WAUK says, I'm sure most Packer fans would say being a Bears fan is worse. However, since Jerry Jones took over the Cowboys, I'd say being a Cowboys fan is worse. Jones can't even get the name right of the star player he just lost. Jim in Brookfield. Brett listening to beautiful Brown Deer says, as a lifelong Cowboys fan, nothing's worse than being a Bears fan. Can't live in 1986 forever. Wow.
John in West Bend said much the same thing. All probably right. A Bears fan because they're still living in 85.
Wow. Joel listening to beautiful Rothschild says being a Bears fan is worse. Steve in Milwaukee, Cowboys, especially because of Jerry Jones. So I don't know, Kevin. I agree. I just think that because my friend Alex brought this up, and you know, I mean, you live most of your life now in Wisconsin. The uniqueness of having the Green Bay Packers not having, you know, back when Kevin and I were, we used to make, remember, for those of you who are Kevin and I's age-ish, Marge, I used to call her Marge, she ought to be shot. The owner of the Cincinnati Reds, right, Kev?
Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, that was a terrible owner. And now you got Jerry Jones. And it's just nice to have a team like the Packers that can never be sold, can never be moved. And, you know, not obviously the quote-unquote owners don't really own the team. But I think it's just something refreshing about that, Kevin.
I mean, that does remain, right? It's so interesting as the world of sports has evolved. It's such an anomaly, and probably the gap between how that manifests itself with the Packers and how it does with so many owners, right? The mega, mega, mega million billionaire owners, right? It's not right. Just, oh, rich people own sports teams. Like, there is no comparison to the way the Packers are owned and operated, quote unquote, to the way the Dallas Cowboys are owned and operated. Yeah. It's like they're running completely different businesses, right. Even though we know for sure they are not.
No, it's we'll do some more. What's worse? I know Kevin has to run here at the bottom of the hour because he has to put his arm up. He has professional nurses that come in. He's going to be fed grapes by people down there today. Kevin, you and I used to cover Platteville sports, but whenever we were on the road at a beautiful Hampton Inn, the hotel of Kevin and I's choice, when we're on the road, we'd often tune in College Game Day to watch you know, what's happening in D1. We were D3. Your thoughts on Lee Corso's last headgear pick tomorrow on College Game Day?
Yeah, boy. I mean, you know, when you brought that up as something we could chit-chat about, just like it does, speaking of living in the 1980s
right.
And 1990s,
yeah.
Right? But when you think about what happened in that time when it came to what ESPN meant to all of us as both sports fans and, in yours and I's cases, aspiring broadcasters, right? The concept of this shoulder programming, the concept of bringing entertainment to sports. Again, you and I liking the sports radio format that turned just arguing about sports into a more entertainment form. And I think what I just think about the most with Lee Corso, along with all of those things, is, you know, one thing in one of my previous roles at UW-Milwaukee, doing communications for athletics and encountering a lot of former coaches who are now analysts, right, doing TV broadcasts and stuff. And there were some that were pretty good at it and a lot of them that really weren't very good at it. And a few that put in the time and a lot that were just waiting for the next coaching job. And some were very early, it seems, and based on now all the accounts, right? Lee Corso figured out early on, you know, I could be pretty good at this broadcasting thing. And he really put himself into that. And I mean, what a remarkable decision by him, instead of trying to go back and like coach a few more years someplace.
Yep.
He fully put himself in both the analyst slash entertainer role, and look where it got him. And look how many imitators, both shows and people, there are now of him and the basketball equivalent, college basketball equivalent, and Dick Vitale.
100% agree, Kev. He nailed it. He told, I think it was somebody on the game day crew once, it's entertainment, sweetheart. Lee Corso. Kevin O'Connor, a great entertainer, great broadcaster, great friend. Thanks, Kev. Feel better. Talk to you soon.
Come on back.
We'll wrap up the show after this on the Civic Media Radio. Welcome back to the Town Hall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now 35 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock on Friday, August 29, 2025. A little Kenny Chesney for you. A song you're not going to hear that often on the radio, was never released as a single that I know of. About the only place you can really hear it is either online or if you are a serious XM subscriber, as I am, on Chesney's No Shoes radio channel on Sirius XM. It's a song called This Is Our Moment. And it was supposed to be the theme song for Saturday Night Football on ESPN when Brent Musburger was the call, the play-by-play guy, along with Kirk Herbstreit, pardon me. And it was, Kenny Chesney was having a drink or a beer or meal, something like that, with Brent Musburger and Kirk Herbstreit one night. And they said, you know, we don't really have a song like, you know, it used to be, who was it? Hank Williams Jr., I think, did the Monday Night Football song for, you know, forever. And so this was supposed to be that kind of a song, a signature piece that would be played every Saturday night on ESPN before the main game. And so Brent Musburger and Kenny Chesney and Kirk Herbstreit started writing stuff down on a napkin, which eventually became that song. I believe Brett James also helped write some of the final lyrics to that. The great Buddy Cannon was the co-producer. But as these things go, once it got to ESPN and ABC and maybe at Disney, it just never happened.
Yeah,
and people, I don't know why, but it just never happened.
Yeah, you never know. With when there's that much money involved,
right,
the people who make the decisions don't always, you know what will actually resonate with people. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they make the right call, but sometimes stuff like this falls to the wayside.
But it's a cool song. I think it would have been, it still would be a cool song to hear every Saturday night. If you are a consumer of college football, as I have been for a number of years, and many thanks, by the way, to my former broadcast partner, my friend Kevin O'Connor, for coming on the show today, even when he's feeling a little under the weather. Get well soon, Kev. So back in the day, back in the early 90s, Kevin and I covered Pioneer Sports when Bo Ryan was down there. Kevin was the play-by-play. I was the color analyst, as they say. We used to, the motto for Pioneer Sports at the time was, one of these guys knows college sports like the back of his hand. We just hope the other guy can find the stadium in time. I was not the guy who knew it like the back of my hand. Kevin's a pro's pro. And we would travel around to, you know, Eau Claire and Superior and Whitewater and La Crosse and River Falls and Oshkosh and do college football games. Well, we were on the road. You know, usually our games were a little bit later in the morning, sometimes afternoon. And we'd get up in the hotel and we'd put on, and Kevin and I were also roommates with a couple other guys in Platteville. And we'd watch College Game Day, a staple for all these years. And the guy you'd always want to wait and see who held the show together was Lee Corso. Lee Corso, the legendary ESPN broadcaster and former coach who has entertained fans for, get this, 38 college football seasons, will make his final headgear pick on College Game Day tomorrow in week one of the 2025 college football season at the Ohio State Stadium as they take on Ohio State, I believe, number three, taking on number one, the Texas Longhorns in Columbus. ESPN will also present special programming celebrating Corso tomorrow as well. Corso, who turned 90 in August, has been a part of college football's premier pregame show since it debuted in 1987. His very first headgear pick was October 5th of 1996 when he donned Ohio State's Brutus Buckeye mascot head in Columbus, Ohio. Corso's weekly end-of-the-show pick during game day's Saturday selections has become a college football tradition, surprising and delighting fans for nearly three decades. Entering his final broadcast in August, Corso has made 430 headgear picks of all time, including the Buckeyes, a record 45 times. So what happens, they have the show, and at the end, they go around the table and pick, you know, they have whatever it is, 10, 12 games for the day, and the final game is the big one that they're at, wherever they're doing the show from. And then Corso puts on the headgear. They've done the show here in Madison several times, and normally he's always picked Bucky. Maybe every time the show originated here from Madison. But as Kevin said in the last segment, Corso, of course, was a coach, I believe, at Army and then Air Force and then at Indiana, so a Big Ten guy, and just figured out that, hey, I can parlay this into broadcasting. And he always knew his lane. Now, he was touched by a stroke 2 or 3 years ago and, you know, cut back his role a little bit, harder for him to talk. But he and Kirk Herbstreit had become really, really close friends. And when Herbstreit was starting out as a former player from Ohio State and Corso had been on the air for a while, he really mentored Herbstreit. And now that Corso has had health problems later in his career, it's become Herbstreit who's really watched out for and helped Corso. And it's a really touching friendship and one of the great parts about broadcasting, in my opinion. What are your remembrances? I mean, he's still living. And that's the other cool thing. He's stepping down at 90. Maybe he should have stepped down a couple of years ago, but you know what? He deserved that. He earned that. He earned that right to call his shot. And I'm just glad that ESPN is doing this while Corso is still living. So what are your favorite remembrances of Lee Corso on College Game Day as he gets ready to make his final headgear pick tomorrow? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Dick, listening in Madison. Dick, thanks for calling. What's your remembrances of Coach?
I just loved him. I mean, you know, you had to. He was a lot of fun, and quite frankly, it was a lot less stressful to go that lane that he picked than get in back into coaching.
Yeah.
I wonder what his record was in picks. I don't know.
I'll see if I can find it while you're talking. Go ahead.
I'll bet you anything he'd laugh at this.
Right.
Is it me? Or did he just start looking more and more like the Cowardly Lion as he got older?
That's pretty good. I mean, I like that a lot.
Maybe he's going to go and make the 86 years later, they're going to make a sequel of The Wizard of Oz or something. I don't know. And then real quickly, I got to pass something on from a sad aspect in Padger. I didn't know this. Clarence Sherrod died.
Yeah, he did.
My God.
Yeah, one of the great basketball players of all time.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
23 points a game. That was before the three-point shot.
Right.
Right out loud.
No, really great ex-Badger. Everything that I know, a great human being as well.
Oh, and played in high school with Fred Brown, who, you know, went on to play for the Supersonics for a long time.
Yep.
He was something.
So here you go. And thanks for bringing that up, Dick. Here you go, by the way, before you go. According to ESPN, 430 mascot headgear selections of all time.
Okay.
He is 286 and 144, a 6.65 win percent on the picks.
A lot better than his coaching.
Right? Corso has donned the headgear of 69 different teams all time. Most all-time selections, Ohio State with 45, Alabama 38, LSU, our very own Jacqueline's team, LSU 25 times, Florida 22, and Oregon, 21. So there you go. Wow. How about that?
There. Well, thanks for that. I really wanted to know his percentage. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty cool. Thanks for calling in, Dick. Appreciate your call as always. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. What's your, and he's, again, he's not dead. He's just retiring. Tomorrow is Lee Corso's last appearance on ESPN's College Game Day tomorrow after 38 seasons. What's your favorite memory, your moment in Lee Corso's incredible career on the air? Heather, watching on Facebook in beautiful Eau Claire on WCFW The Tap, says Coach Corso will always be the heart of college football. The relationship between he and Kirk Herbstreit makes my heart melt every time I see them. Thanks, Heather. Always appreciate that. She's absolutely right. Let's listen to just a little bit. Well, let's take this this tribute that's going to play tomorrow. We're not going to play the whole thing. It's over 7 minutes long. But Mike Tirico, the great sports broadcaster who used to be at ESPN, now at NBC. He starts this off. Let's do a minute or so of the tribute from ESPN, which will play tomorrow to Lee Corso on College Game Day.
Yo, sweetheart. Thank you for having an indelible impact on my career and my life. Nobody like you before, nobody like you after. Thank you. Life is good because you've been in it.
You truly are what it means to be gracious. You truly are what it means to be kind.
I just want to say thank you. It's been an honor to watch you all these years.
There's a beheading going on at the Coliseum.
Hey, Coach, congratulations. You are a legend. I have a little headgear I'm going to try on. Because you know what Ricky Bobby says? If you ain't first, you're last.
Woo!
Hi, Coach Corso. It's Ken Jeong. It's Mr. Chow. You're my daddy, and you are also beloved.
You've represented.
That's part of this tribute that will play. It's over 7 minutes long. Play at ESPN tomorrow during College Game Day Elite Corso. That was Will Ferrell earlier, of course. There's Ricky Bobby there, and lots of other celebrities in this as well. His 200th pick, by the way, was on October 22nd, 2011, here in Madison when he picked Wisconsin, and they won. So that's pretty cool on that. Let's have we got time here for the Kirk Herbstreit toast part, or should we do that when we come back, you think?
We can give that a listen. Yeah, we all got time.
Here is Kirk Herbstreit this week doing a toast to his friend Lee Corso at a dinner with the College Game Day crew.
Let's do a real cheers here. Yeah, this is to the weekend is going to be fun. It's the opening weekend of college football. It's Lee Corso's final, it's final appearance on College Game Day. It's going to be a blast. We're going to celebrate this guy. And I think every person in this room and anybody you've ever worked with, I think what's unique is people see you with the headgear and they see all the silly stuff you do. But I think what we see is the smile every Friday meeting, whether you're the makeup artist or Reese Davis, everybody in between. You just lightened everybody up. You lifted everybody up. And you've done that, I'm sure, as a coach. But our experience with you, for me, the last 30 years, it's like, I've never seen you have a bad day. Like, if you have a bad day, you never really show that you're having a bad day. You're always positive, and you're the backbone of what this show has been about. We're gonna celebrate you the way you should be, and we just wanna honor you tonight and say you're the man, we love you. Lee Corso.
Kirk Herbstreit, the Ohio State alum. I think that was from last night, actually, and in Columbus where they did a dinner and toasting the great Lee Corso at age 90, his final day on College Game Day tomorrow. I'll be tuning in. The selection should happen. His final selection. Will he choose Brutus for the Buckeyes? Or will he go against the grain and pick Texas? He'll find out just before 11 o'clock tomorrow on ESPN. We're going to come back and wrap things up here for a Friday Labor Day weekend on the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with me.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
That That's right. It's time on a Friday for a free ticket Brewer giveaway ticket Friday.
Shout out to
8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock. Yes.
Shout out to Michael and Tosa for texting in asking about the free ticket Friday giveaway. Yeah, that's happening today. And we're doing it now.
It's Friday, which means it's free ticket Friday giveaway for the Milwaukee Brewers on the network. And normally we give you a keyword in the first hour of the show. We keep giving it and you text in. And then this, we're still going to do it, by the way, thanks to Michael. If I could, Michael, if it was legal, and again, the lawyers here on the 12th floor remind us this is a statewide contest, and the attorneys also tell me I can't just give you the tickets, Michael, but you may be the only one listening, so your odds are pretty high. So thank you. Here's the deal. I'm going to give you a keyword, and then you have until the top of the hour to text in. Download the Civic Media app on your Apple or Android device. Takes less than a minute. It's free. Open it up. The Civic Media app. The first 10 stations are the ones that we're on. Pick one of them. Open that up in the lower right-hand corner. It'll say text. And now this is for, you have to be able to go next Wednesday, September 3rd, against Philadelphia at 6:40. It's a 6:40 first pitch for next Wednesday, September 3rd. You'll have 4 tickets if you win to our club level seats. So open up the Civic Media app, click text, and now text the word. The word this hour is ball, B-A-L-L. Text the word ball right now on the Civic Media app.
Yeah,
ball.
5 minutes.
B-A-L-L. Your chances of winning are extraordinarily good. Ball. Text the word ball, B-A-L-L, right now on the Civic. Oh, look, more people are listening than I thought. We're getting quite a few entries. Thank you.
Good, good.
Because if we don't get a lot of entries, Sommer's saying, we may not be here come Tuesday.
They'll probably give it a little longer than that.
Text the word ball, B-A-L-L. To be in the running for 4 club-level seats for Milwaukee Brewers tickets. This is for Wednesday, September 3rd, against Philadelphia, a 6:40 first pitch. Text the word ball, B-A-L-L, right now on the Civic Media app. The Brewers are back in action tonight across international lines up in Toronto against the Blue Jays. The pregame show starts at 5:30 this afternoon, first pitch just after 6 o'clock. You can listen to it on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WCQM Park Falls, and WBZH in Hayward, Wisconsin. The Brewers taking on the Blue Jays tonight. Pregame show at 5:30 across many of these stations. Text the word ball, B-A-L-L, right now to the Civic Media app to be eligible to win 4 club-level seats due next Wednesday's game, September 3rd. All right, Summer, time for a rapid response. Board game of the week. Here we go.
Not only are we down to the wire, this game is about cutting wires. It is a Mission Impossible of its own. So the board game of the week is Bomb Busters. The winner of the prestigious Spiel des Jahres Award, Game of the Year, this year is Bomb Busters, a game that came out last year.
Bomb Busters. Right.
2 to 5 players. And you all get a bunch of little tiles that are wires. They're different colored wires.
All right.
And you're trying to cut the right ones to defuse the bomb. The problem is you can't see each other's wires and you can't just tell each other what they are. Okay. So you have to try and use clues to guess which wires to cut and not cut the red one and blow yourselves up.
Wow. Are there actual wires or is this just...
It's their little cardboard-ish pieces that have wires printed on them.
But... I see.
And it has a whole bunch of different ways to change up the puzzle and so that it doesn't get boring. It's got 66 different optional missions you can do.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good. And there are no explosives involved.
There are no real explosives. All right.
Well, that's very good. How much does it cost?
It is $40.
$40. Not bad. I mean, if you can find it online or at a game store near you, maybe a good game to play this weekend at a campground or wherever.
fun for the whole family. A nice little spy theme, you know?
Yeah, that's, I like that. Bomb Busters, you say.
Bomb Busters.
Bomb Busters, your board game of the week. Like many of my dates, that was quick. It was done and over very quickly, and that's fine. That's good. It was a good one, Sommers. I'm sorry we didn't have more time, but you know, we had so many great guests today, and many thanks to Mike Clemens for being our guest today, live from Green Bay on that Micah Parsons trade. Also, many thanks to Kevin O'Connor for being here discussing the trade, discussing Lee Corso, and giving us a Chicago perspective today as well. I'm not sure. Did we say what's worse?
We did not.
What's your worst? Cowboys fan, being a Cowboys fan or being a Bears fan today?
Which is the worst franchise? I agree with what some people said, and that the Cowboys franchise is worse. There's just more money. They're more of jerks in my mind. But as far as which is worse to be a fan of, it's the Bears, because you're never really going to get a win.
I think it's worse to be a Cowboys fan today, because I wouldn't want Jerry Jones running the team that I love.
For me, that doesn't change it. Every day is the worst day to be a Bears fan.
Wow. Very, very salty today, Zombers. Remember, text the word ball, B-A-L-L, right now on the Civic Media app. You have 1 minute and 10 seconds. Text the word ball, B-A-L-L, right now to the Civic Media app to be eligible to win 4 free tickets to the Milwaukee Brewers game on Wednesday, September 3rd, against Philadelphia. Be listening on Monday for the Labor Day show. We are going to be replaying our interview with NFL Hall of Famer, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Joe Thomas from Six Springs Farm, talking about Wagyu beef, and also be talking to Brady Ewing as well. So be listening to that show on Monday. We'll be back live with you on Tuesday. Have a great and safe Labor Day weekend, everybody. Zomers, thanks to you as well. Mike Clemens, Kevin O'Connor, and all of you for listening. Until Monday with Joe Thomas and Brady Ewing, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.